Voters across Europe will go to the polls this week to elect a new European Parliament. And Britain, which was supposed to have made its exit from the EU 2 months ago now, will be participating in that vote. That's because Britain won't be leaving the EU until October, after Prime Minister Theresa May failed to reach a Brexit deal that satisfied both the British Parliament and the Europeans. That deal still has not yet been struck. But in a new twist, exit polls are showing that Nigel Farage's Eurosceptic Brexit Party is set to gain the most votes in this week's EU elections.
There's been a betrayal of trust by Parliament, by our government. The can keeps getting kicked down the road. So now is the time to fight back, because for the last 3 years, the one voice that's been missing in all of this has been that of the people. Well, on May the 23rd, they're going to get the opportunity, and the Brexit Party clearly, unequivocally, believes we should leave the European Union.
That's Nigel Farage, leader of the UK's Brexit Party, which looks set to make significant gains in this week's European elections. Pascal Lamy is the former director of the World Trade Organization and the former European Commissioner for Trade. He joins me in the breakfast studio. Pascal Lamy, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Nigel Farage's Brexit Party is surging ahead in the polls in Britain in the run-up to this week's European Parliament elections. What would a successful result for that party, do you think, mean for Brexit and the EU? Do you have a view on that?
I think it's now largely irrelevant. When you look at the polls, yeah, Farage and his Brexit party is around, 34%?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Brexit was voted by 52%. So there's nothing surprising on this. The reality is that a large part of the UK electorate, whether on the Remain side or on the Brexit side, are extremely unhappy at the way the government has been running the show. On both sides, there's a lot of frustration, understandably so, by the way. I mean, we all knew Brexit was to be a mess, but such a mess, I think nobody would have guessed.
No, that's true. I think that's fair to say. But the UK is due to leave the EU on the 31st of October, if in some way or other, if no agreement is reached before them. And the political turmoil surrounding Britain's departure, I think, has hardened anti-EU and British nationalist sentiment. Do you think it is likely that the British Prime Minister, Theresa May, if she remains Prime Minister even, will push her to pursue a harder Brexit? And do you have some concerns of that?
No, frankly speaking, no. This has never been a negotiation between EU and UK. It's been a negotiation between UK and UK. And the real problem of Brexit is that they know that Brexiting is economically painful. They want to do it politically. And they're trying to leave politically as much as possible and economically as little as possible. And it's that compromise which Theresa May has been unable to find within her own political system. Starting, of course, with the Tory party, who's totally divided.
The WTO has entered this whole debate. Brexiteers like Nigel Farage want the UK to enter the World Trade Organization after they quit the EU. He says, "I believe the only way we get a free trade deal with the EU without the attached politics is to leave. Then they'll come running." What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I've always said it's about leaving. Let's assume you're playing soccer.
Mm-hmm.
You're in first league, and going to WTO is going directly to fourth league with no bilateral agreement with the European Union. That absolutely senseless. I mean, it would be costly
to Britain.
WTO is. I'm not saying WTO is not an important institution, but it's the least common denominator between Bangladesh and Sweden. Now, does UK want to jump from first league to fourth league in one shot? That would be absolutely stupid for them and, by the way, for us Europeans.
And I think that's the word from British manufacturers. British industry is saying that. But do you think the British are getting that message from their political leaders? Do you think that is really being heard in this debate?
I think, I mean, you're right. It's percolating very slowly.
Yeah.
But I think it is percolating. The notion that Britain would leave the European Union overnight and be directly plunged into the least common denominator trade regime in this planet would be very costly. and would make no sense. So I think they have to find some sort of compromise between, again, leaving politically, because that's what 52% of the British decided a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
and diminishing the likely cost of that. And that's where, I mean, you know, the British in their own system call what, in my view, is to be the likely outcome. They call it Brino, Brexit in name only. So you Brexit politically, but in reality, you still follow EU rules, regimes, standards, so that there is no economic and trade disruption.
This is essentially Labour's soft Brexit, but there is no way that the Conservative Party is going to allow Prime Minister Theresa May to strike that deal, is there?
I agree with you, which is why I believe this Brino, as they call it, will not happen as such now, but it's going to be the result 10 years from now.
You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 16 minutes to 9. Our guest is Pascal Lamy, former director of the World Trade Organization and former European Commissioner for Trade. Let's talk trade for a moment. Last week, the Trump administration put Chinese telecommunications company Huawei and its affiliates on a business blacklist. It banned it from the supply chain. It's also, of course, we're in the middle of this trade tensions between the US and China. How will that impact, do you think, on trade talks between the US and China, which have stalled multiple times?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer. I think you're right in saying that the background to that is a geopolitical rivalry between U.S. and China, which Trump wants to make more aggressive. I mean, Trump is in many ways the return of violence in international politics, violence of words, more than deeds, but still violence. But it's also true, and on this, Trump is not wrong on everything, at least in my view. It's also true that the rules of international trade today do not properly discipline a number of Chinese practices. So there is a point in reforming WTO. And by the way, EU has, I think, brought China to the recognition that China should accept more disciplines, notably on subsidization in WTO. So it's all a question of China moving more into the system. There is the Trump option, big bat, big stick, hurting, and then there is the EU option, negotiation.
So just talk a little more about that, because you've spent a lot of your life looking at trade negotiation, trade rules. So you think there is an argument for changing the rules. What makes you think that China is going to be convinced by the EU and others to come to a changed rule, to play by those rules? And what would be the first point that you think China would need to acquiesce to?
Well, first, I think China needs more than others a rules-based international trading system. Whatever forecast you have for the Chinese economy, it will remain heavily export-dependent for the next 10 to 20 years. So if you're export-dependent, you're in favor of a rules-based system. Where should China move first? What's the area where China so far has not moved? Because probably the pressure was not enough, it's on subsidization. I mean, the Chinese system, as compared to the Western system, to the European system, to the Australian system, to the Canadian system, to the American system, is still a system where 30% of the economy is under state command. This is too much, because it allows that part of the Chinese economy to be de facto subsidized. When you compete within China with a subsidized company, or when you compete outside China with a subsidized export Chinese company, this is a problem. This has to change.
It's the old story of a level playing field or not. Pascal Lamy, absolutely. Thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Pascal Lamy is the former director of the World Trade Organization, full bottle there, as you could hear, on international trade rules, a former European Commissioner for Trade. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 12 minutes to 9.